You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Well, hello and welcome to Brokenomics. Now, as you may be aware, I've been doing this series with Carl where we look at polls and analyse current political trends and all that sort of stuff. And it has come to my attention that actually it's not completely fanciful that the Green Party may actually win the next election. They have been surging under the leadership of Zach Polanski. They had a presence before. It wasn't that, but they had a decent presence anyway for a secondary or tertiary party or whatever they are. They're absolutely surging. I mean, I saw a poll this morning that said amongst the Uxbridge types, you know, the Oxford and Cambridge people, you know, apparently these people are going to be the elite of British society in a few years when they all graduate. They are 50% going to vote Green. 50% of the students at our two elite universities are going to be voting Green. And actually, that's lower than their age cohort as a whole. Amongst the young people, Greens utterly dominate. So it behooves me to try and take them seriously. And on that basis, I've decided to dig out their manifesto and what do we cost it? Find out how much it's going to cost to have a Green government. Now, I've skimmed through this before and put a few notes together, and I'm afraid to say I don't want to give any spoilers, but it's a tiny bit expensive. And by a tiny bit, I mean absolutely massively, as in blowing the arse off your economy, you know, Argentinian debt style expensive. And actually, even then, that doesn't capture it, the sheer magnitude of the spending. But let's lead with that and see what they've got. Right, so on your screen, you should have the Green Party manifesto. Now, as you can see, as we go through it, it's written for a simpleton, somebody who has a very basic command of the English language. So it starts off with explaining how you vote. You put an X on a ballot paper on the day. And by the way, this is the last election manifesto. This was before Zach Polanski was even leader. So this is bonkers, but this is before the Green Party got properly bonkers. So whatever we're going to talk about here today, that the current reality is actually even worse than this. But this is so bad, it's fine. Right. So let's have a look at the manifesto. Let me see. So about this, I'm going to tell you what we do. Oh, here we go. It explains the chosen MP goes to Parliament to speak up for you and make new laws. Well, thank you for explaining what an MP is. That's very helpful. Green Party's been getting stronger and stronger, hasn't it just? These people are helping make your community greener and fairer. And then there's a picture of an actual spastic. In this election, we want to do well. That is the point of political campaigning, I suppose. I'll give you that. We urgently need more Green MPs to get more done about the climate emergency. We need to stop more of our services and natural resources like water being sold off. We need them owned by all of us again. Okay, right, fine. So nationalisation is going to be in this. And then it explains the policies. Each of these is illustrated by a picture. For example, well, here's one. There's a picture of an empty bench and it says lots of people are homeless. So I hope you're keeping up with this so far. I'm not using too many big words. People can't get a hospital appointment, see a GP or a dentist. There's a little X for a dentist there. Picture of some sort of troglodyte chap. But to do this, we need more MPs who can make brave choices and do the things in this manifesto. Green MPs will fight hard every single day to do this for you and all of us. Oh, how uplifting. What are we in now? Homes for everybody. Actually, let's do health. What we know, the NHS has not had enough money. Right, their view is that the NHS has not had enough money. The enormous fiscal black hole that is the NHS has not had enough money. It just needs more money shoveled at it. Okay. Or it has been wasted spending it on private companies. Well, yes, because private companies supply stuff that the NHS needs because we don't live in a command and control economy. Our promise is to see health and social care get enough money to do a good job. And they've got a woman with her thumb up just to reinforce that this is good. What we will do, we will make sure you do not have to wait long for an appointment or treatment. Okay, how are you going to do that? That you can see an NHS dentist. Just conjure them out of the air, I suppose. Children and people with not much money can see dental nurses. You can see your GP the same. How are they going? Oh, fuck's sake. We pay NHS staff more. Okay, but where is the money going to come from to do the extra paying when we are already 110 billion in the hole every year? And that hole is getting deeper. National debt of 3 trillion. And we're adding to that 110 billion a year. So, oh, God's sakes, here we go. Oh, this is good. HIV. We will stop any new people getting HIV by 2030. What a brilliant promise. Why hasn't somebody done that? Why hasn't the government just passed a law saying nobody's going to get HIV anymore? Britain's elite universities overwhelmingly backing this party. God, here we go. Social care. We all know the social care system has not had enough money or staff for a long time. Right. There's going to be a lot of this in this manifesto. Just, you know, we just need to give them more money and more money in every single section. Anyway, I've had enough of this. Right. They've got a policy details document, which we take a look at. So let's start with health and social care. Just have a quick look at their promises. Okay. Initial 3 billion for local authorities. Health and care. What have they got? Oh, yeah, 20 billion of investments. Yeah. So, full set of claims. So they believe that they're going to inject 8 billion annually into the NHS and then increase it to 28 billion by 2030. So that would be the end of this parliament that we're in. Of course, they didn't win this election, but, you know, had they have got in. But 28 billion a year is the ambition. Dentistry, we'll get an extra 3 billion. Social care, I picked that out. That was in there somewhere. That gets an extra 20 billion investment. And 3 billion for the child social care, of course. So, you know, this all ramps to about 30 billion a year on their sort of promises here. And then in social care, they're looking for 20 billion. They think they can make it a one-off, but in practice it won't be because that will just get absorbed by the system. Free personal care, workforce rebuilt, you know, these are all structural things that are going to result in, substantially higher spending. So really they're understating their spending on NHS and social care to the tune of about 25 billion to 50 billion. You know, they basically say we're just going to throw more money and staff at it. But okay, well, where are these staff coming from? Are they all just going to be imported? Do we just have vast swathes of Somalian nurses and doctors and dentists waiting to flock through? Possibly that's what they think. So they're envisaging shorter waiting lists and better care. But really, what I'm seeing is higher wages, persistent shortages, and rising costs, with probably no output gains. You know that. You know, in this document here, they're promising, you know, expanded care, but without solving who's going to deliver it and how. You can't just spend your way out of a labour shortage. Because no matter how much money you've got, I mean, right, I suppose if you offered every foreign doctor in the world enough money, they might come, but whether the money would arrive in their bank account every month, once you've gone through your fiscal crisis, that's a different thing. You know, the constraint that they've identified is not money, it's people, even if they could just, you know, put people at it. So an enormous set of costs on here. I seem to remember it's page. Here we go, housing. That's another high. No, they've got some white people in the policy document. That's nice. All right. Everybody needs a warm, secure, and affordable home. Yet millions of people don't have this most basic building block of a happy family. So what are they going to do? Just skim that. Energy bills are too high. Here's the meat of it. They're going to spend $29 billion on installations. Insulation. What is that? Loft insulation? Okay. What else we got? Oh, $9 billion in heat pumps. $4 billion for, you know, other building renewal. Rent controls and higher environmental standards on new buildings. Right, I want 150,000 new social homes each year. Right. Okay. So, 150,000 new homes. What's that going to cost? Somewhere between 200 and 300,000 to build. So you're looking at somewhere between 30 billion to 45 billion of additional spending on this, plus all the other items that they put in. So realistically, you're looking at 20 to 35 billion on this. Right. So they're understating on the housing section by 40 to 70 billion. And what they're envisaging of all of this is, you know, more homes and lower rent. But, I mean, where are you going to get the builders from? And what's going to happen to the wages when you've taken everybody who could feasibly operate as a builder and you've sucked people into it to build these homes? The wages are going to go up. We just don't domestically have enough, so we'd have to import all the Polish builders back again. But Poland is richer and nicer now. Their GDP per capita has passed us, but okay, presumably we get them all back in. But the cost of wages are going to soar. The cost of materials is going to soar. If you put in rent controls, then landlords are going to exit the market. So there's going to be fewer rentals available, and local authorities won't have the capacity to deliver on all these extra homes. So you're going to get a slower build out, higher costs, tighter rental market, and basically your local authority will control who gets housed. Okay. They're trying to aggressively expand supply, which I agree is the right goal, but they're also suppressing the private incentives while doing it. So you've got a stated preference which pulls in directly opposite directions. Okay, fine. But housing and what did we do? We did the NHS. So add those two lots together, and we've added so far between 110 billion, which is the current deficit. So even at the low end, the deficit doubles, and we've only done two sections so far. And actually at the high end, what would that come to? 165 billion. Right. Getting expensive so far. What did I want to look at next? There was an economy bit where they try. Here we go. Right, so their picture of an economy is a house with some solar panels on it, and they're saying creating a fairer, greener economy. Green MPs will fight for an economy that delivers security, well-being, and a better quality of life for everyone, as well as protecting our environment and enabling us to tackle the climate crisis with the ambition and speed it demands. 40 billion new investment in for the green economy, carbon tax. Green MPs will push for 12.4 billion investment in skills and training. Taxing wealthy fairly to borrowing to invest. Ah, so we got to some fundraising bits at last. Right. A wealth tax of 1% annually on assets over 10 million and 2% on assets over 1 billion. Only a tiny minority of people would pay this tax. Reform capital gains tax to align the rates paid by taxpayers on income and taxable gains. This would affect less than 2% of taxpayers. What else have we got in here? Oh, they think it's going to raise between 50 and 70 billion. 2 billion in grant funding for local authorities for help decarbonize. Okay, well, let's just think about this set of claims. And so they reckon, well, first of all, 40 billion on green investment. Okay. Wealth tax. They're going to take into public ownership all the utilities and stuff. Okay. The wealth tax, that is a little bit troubling because, okay, let's say you've got something which is fairly illiquid, a farm or family business or something, and, you know, you take a modest income from it. And yes, the business as a whole on paper is worth a lot, but it's not like you can sell it. It's the family business. You need to run it. So it's not liquid. It's not a pool of cash sat there. It is it could be tied up in trucks and, you know, oh, bloody builder's material or lathes or, you know, production lines or whatever it is. The business has got real assets. And yeah, on paper, the business could be sold for something. But you know, a lot of these family businesses, they're clearly going to be worth more than £1 million on paper at least, but it's not liquid. You know, the family, the beneficiary, the people running it, they're just drawing a salary and a little bit of dividends from it. So first of all, how are they going to pay this wealth tax? This 1 or 2% wealth tax. I suppose it's 2% on assets over a billion. So at least the people with assets over a billion are going to have more sophisticated tax planning to help them. But let's take a modestly sized family business. You know, the family business might be worth, say, 8 million or something. But it's not a pool of cash. That's just tied up in trucks and lathes and whatever, you know, tools and all the rest of it, for whatever it is that they produce, okay? You're going to have to hand over 1% of that every year. But they've also said, because they're harmonising tax and CGT, I mean, higher an additional rate tax is over 50%, which you're now going to be paying whenever you sell a part of this. But assuming you can find somebody who wants to buy 1% of your family business, how would that work? I mean, if somebody came to me and said, look, I've got an interesting little business, it's not paying much dividends, you know, the family is just taking a salary from it, basically, but we do own it. So would you like to buy 1% of it, but you won't get much dividends from it? I'd be like, well, why would I do that? I can just buy a listed company. I could, if I am going to buy it, it's going to be with an aggressive discount. So, but anyway, they're going to need to sell, because they're harmonising CGT and income tax, they're going to need to sell 2% of that business every year, so that half of it can then be taxed away, and then they can pay the other half as the 1% wealth tax. Okay. So actually, it's a 2% annual liquidation on family businesses. If you pay 2% a year, you halve your ownership of that business in 34 years. So if you have a family business, within one generation, your ownership of it gets halved. Why would you bother running a family business in the UK? Or a farm, or anything. Or any long-run enterprise, when you're going to lose half of it over one generation, having to pay this tax. And that assumes that you can sell the 1% of your business every year at the full rate of the business as a whole, which you won't be able to, because who the hell is going to buy 1% of a business without a ridiculous discount on it? I mean, I wouldn't. I'd just say no, not unless I'm getting a big discount so that the dividends actually hold up. So this is just fundamentally unworkable. But yeah, I mean, looking at this, so they think that they're going to raise 50 to 70 billion with that, wherever that was. And they reckon they're going to raise 80 billion in their carbon tax. No, they're not. The cost of nationalisation, that was in there as well. That has to cost at least between 5 to 15 billion a year. When you look at, once you take these into private ownership, that you won't have the commercial lines of credit open to you anymore, the lending facilities available to it. So it has to cost 5 to 15 billion in financing cost and ongoing capex for those set of businesses. And that's conservative. So, I mean, I'm seeing 45 to 55 billion of additional spend in this section alone.
If you enjoyed that content, and of course you did because you are a smart person, then why don't you go over to lotuseaters.com where you can watch the whole episode for as little as £5 a month, which really is not much money at all, and you get loads of really good content.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.